Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're live again tonight on Cinco de Mayo. Very interesting evening. I was just reading a little bit about it. It was a anniversary of a Mexican kind of a war against the French that they were able to pull off, and they recognize it every May the 5th of each year. So I've just returned from a very interesting weekend. I was going with a friend of mine down to Quesnel to the Country Music Jamboree, and he's been going down there for about 25 years. And what a nice little town Quesnel is. I really like it. There was lots going on. We managed to get around to all the events. Farmers Market was really quite nice. There was music going there. There was music downtown. There was music at the Country Jamboree. And on that trip, I was with my wife, and we had thought about the traveling that we had done around, a little bit around the world and a little bit around the province and Canada. And I thought, well, that would be an interesting show if we were to make it sort of a travel show hooked in with music. And so that's kind of how I got into that plan. And I'd like to pull it off tonight if we can. So I'm going to call this show Travel with the Blues, because I'm a bit of a blues guy. I've been listening to the blues probably all of my life. And there are many styles, many artists. It's a very interesting genre. And I've got a couple of songs lined up that I'll bring on. But let's get started on this trip. Now, I actually was wanting to go to Bella Coola for many years. And for some reason, it just didn't fall into the plan. But on this particular year, it did. And we made that decision. We had an old crew cab pickup. I actually had got it off of Lynn Scott. It was his service truck, a little brown kind of a beauty that ran fairly well. He looked after it pretty good. And we found an old camper, an 8-foot camper, and put that on, and we were ready to go, loading up. And our decision, like when we got down the road, was to turn right at Blackwater Road. Now, the interesting thing that I always wanted to mention was with radio, you can't see what we're doing. So it has to take a certain amount of imagination. And the imagination is something that we're all good at. We can just instantly think, well, there, huh, we're in Vanderhoof. We're going out of Vanderhoof, and there is the sign Blackwater. And let's turn down there and see what's going on. So that's what we did. And that's what I want you to do as a listener. Follow us on this little travel escapade, and it should be fun. So on that trip along through the Blackwater, it's actually similar area to Smithers. Not really as you would consider as mountainous at that particular start, but it's the same kind of bush level. And we went through, there's a lake up there, and you're on your way towards Quesnel. And the first night we got into that first lake, what did I call that lake? I've kind of forgotten where that was. But anyways, it doesn't particularly matter. We're just moving along in that area. And we, it was Bobtail, that's one, Bobtail. So it's quite a logging area in there, the Bobtail. And that's sort of as you're working your way to Quesnel along this back road. So we spent the night there. We had a very nice evening. And then next night, we were on the, our next day, we were on the road again, just traveling, not to, in too much of a rush. And we made it as far as just before Nazco. I was actually quite surprised. We ran into some pavement. And so we thought, well, let's follow that pavement. And we'd come up to another little lake. So we decided we'd camp there for the night. So we got ourselves all organized. And then passed the evening along and went to sleep. And the next morning, there seemed to be a lot of activity outside. And we kind of slowly got ourselves out there, and there was people all over the place. It turns out we were parked right inside of a triathlon, and everybody was getting lined up, ready to go swimming in the lake, and they had their bikes and, you know, the whole setup there. So we were kind of had to move ourselves out of there. Nobody had actually told us about it or whatever, and so that was how that morning went. Then we carried on to Quesnel, and we took the back road, you would call it, on the north side of the Fraser, and followed that to Williams Lake. That, again, that's quite a nice drive along there, something that we are not always on. It was a dirt road, and we're kind of used to being on the highway. But if you take your time, you see something different, it's actually kind of nice. Now, on that route, unfortunately, I did hit an obstruction, and I broke the brake line off of this old Ford crew cab. I thought, oh my goodness, so where am I going to get a part for that? I thought, well, maybe I would, in Williams Lake, I would get into the wrecking yard there, and I would find something. Well, oddly enough, it was a Sunday, and so nothing was open. And my wife, being originally from Ontario, she said, well, why don't you try a Canadian Tire? And I thought, well, I hardly doubt that they'd have the part, let alone be open. But sure enough, when I got there, they were open. I walked in and discussed it with the counter person, and they pulled the brake line right off of the shelf. So I found that very, very kind of interesting, and it sure worked out well for us. So I was very happy to do that, get that brake fixed, because I knew what our future was, because we're attempting to go down the hill into Bella Coola. And that hill is quite famous, being that it's one of the very few 18% grades going into that valley. And that is something that people are a little bit cautious about, because it's a pretty good drop and you need good brakes. So that was sort of my situation. We carried on after we got the got our repair in. And I thought I would, at this point, just bring in a song so that we could kind of get ourselves comfortable with the blues. And I wanted to start with my one of my favorite Canadians. In our program, we always try to have Canadian content. And I've got my one of my friends here that came to Smithers and he's a very successful blues man, Colin James. So have a listen to this track. Thank you.
walking down a back row with no flashlight. Nightbirds singing their tune under the soft blue light of the moon. Time rolls like a wheel over things I knew but forgot to feel. And as I walk, the light reveals some scars I'm never gonna heal. Another day, story told. Every life is an open
So that was Colin James. He's actually played in Smithers and is a pretty amazing guitarist. He's been at this job for, I would gotta say, it at least 30 years now. And he's an excellent performer. That song is called Open Road off of his 2021 album Open Road. Colin has 21 studio albums out now and 8 Juno Awards. which have placed him into the upper echelons of electrifying performers. Very, very, very fortunate if you get a chance to see him. So let's take ourselves back now. We've got the truck running again properly. We're now making that decision. As you can see in your mind, we're pulling onto Highway 20, and we're heading for Bella Coola. So that it's actually a bit of a hill going down and up, and we're on our way across the Fraser. It's actually a very beautiful bridge, and going into the Chilcotin Plateau, definitely worth a chance to look it over, and I think you would really enjoy it. So along the road, we got the little town of Risky Creek, and then before you know it, we're at the corner. It's called Lee's Corner, and the road to the left goes out to a lake out there, Choco Lake, but the main road carrying on is sort of carrying on to the right. So we pulled into Lee's Corner, and you know, people can be very friendly, you know, and of course a merchant wants you to have lunch and sit down and whatever, and we met the owner. Her name was Dorothy Golden, and we had quite a chat with her, and she makes, I would consider, one of the best Greek pizzas that I've had. I was even comparing it to the time when we used to get our pizza from Vera's Cafe in Smithers, and it was right up there in that level. So we spent a little bit of time talking with Dorothy, had some fun, and she actually knew some friends of ours. She was originally from Squamish and knew Doug and Sue Carroll. So, and she kept calling him Little Dougie Carroll because she remembers him when he was, you know, just back as a little youngster. So that was kind of nice to have that connection. And then we carried on, kept ourselves sort of focused, passing through some very legendary areas, Nipple Lake, Anaheim Lake, and Kleena Kleen. I mean, these are names that you've heard about, but it kind of feels good to go and look at the area, look it around. And it would be nice if we had met other people, you know, farmers or ranchers on the road at that time, but that particular situation didn't happen. Anyways, we came up to the, finally, we reached the, what they call the hill. And there's a big parking lot up top there, and my wife was taking pictures. We're actually, you know, there's definitely now got into mountainous country. And I saw a couple guys over in the parking lot. I thought I'd go over and have a chat with them. And I came up, and they were smoking a joint. And the guy said to me, "Do you want some?" And I said, "Well, no, we're going down the hill." He said, "So are we." Oh, so I thought, well, we better get ourselves going so we can get ahead of these guys if they have any problem. So that's what we did. Jumped in the truck, and we headed down. And it's a hill. It's not, you know, that concerning, but you have to stay sharp and watch that you don't get your brakes overheated. So you just got to sort of feather them, bring them on, bring them off. And the road itself has no guardrails on the, and there's some interesting little drop-offs there that you definitely don't want to be going over. So we plugged along, got ourselves down the bottom, and pulled into the valley. First stop was the pullout for Rainbow Range, a beautiful kind of orange mixture color into the mountains. It's sort of a very gorgeous area. So we went for a little hike in there, spent a little bit of time looking around, and then carried on through past the little town of Higginsburg. And it seemed like that was a Finnish community, and they had their style of log buildings. They were kind of interesting, the way they had constructed them. And then we made our way into Bella Coola. And, of course, by that time we were looking for dinner. And there was a cafe. I don't know how famous it was. It's gone now, but at that time it was called the Waterfront Cafe, and it was a beautiful spot right on the waterfront. And as we walked into the place, they had blues music playing. That kind of course, attracted me. And then when we sat down and ordered our dinner and wine, the wine glasses were filled right to the top. I mean, you don't see that nowadays. You get a 6 or a 9 ounce glass of wine, and it doesn't look like too much wine in that glass. But that always helps to give a little bit of enjoyment to where you are. So we had had a very excellent dinner there, salmon, and we sat back and listened to some of the music that was coming out of their system. So I'd like to play one of those songs, because I really like these two guys. This Sonny Terry, he's the harmonica player, and his partner, Brownie McGee. So let's see if we can pick up that song and see how it sounds for you. And consider, just put yourself down in that valley. You can see the mountains both sides. You're right at the ocean, and we're sitting down having a bit of dinner, and this particular song was playing.
1, 2, 3, 4. You bought your six-string Gibson, you bought your great big amp, you cried and sang like muddy water, and played like lightning sound. But since I blowed my heart, you feeling mean and confused. It got you chained to your air bomb, you just a white lost and the blue. I'm gonna play my harp now. Soda, great big horns that toots, 44 carat buttons on your everyday suit. But since I've been my shame, you've been feeling mean and confused. Got you chained to your earphones, you just a white boy lost in the blue. I'm gonna try to bend them for you now. We'll be right back.
see you lost in the blues. Go ahead and do your thing, baby. You chained to your earphones. You're just a white boy lost in the blues.
Well, he's got me chained to my earphones. A white boy lost in the blues.
Got you chained to your earphones. Just a white boy lost in the blue.
I don't know if it could get any better than that. It just lays you back, puts you in a comfortable mood, and you're just ready to kind of groove. That was Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. Those two characters have been partners for a long time. Sonny lost his sight when he was 16 years old and decided to become a singer and a harp player instead of his first choice as a farmer. He met Brownie, the guitarist, in 1941. Then the duo lasted well into the 80s. Terry passed away in 1986, the year he was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame. So after dinner, of course, here we are. That will bring us back to our imagination of sitting and relaxing in the waterfront cafe. The ocean is right there. And so we headed out, around, looked around town and found a campsite and stayed there. And then after the next morning, we also spent a bit of time checking out the town. And of course, we went to the tourist bureau, and we had an intention of hiking up to Hunland Falls. That fall is considered one of the highest falls in British Columbia. And so we were kind of looking forward to that little side adventure. And the young student at the tourist bureau said, "Oh, that is a pretty easy hike. It's only 9K up and 9K back." And we thought, well, that doesn't sound too bad. We'll get ourselves organized and try and get out on the road or on the trail by about 1 or 2 o'clock. Should be able to get up to the campsite, and we were planning on staying overnight. So got all our supplies together, and we got our packs on, and we're just heading to the trail. And at that exact moment, there was two guys coming down that had been up in the up at the campsite, and they were sweating and they were looking kind of rough, and they said, just directly right to us, "Don't go. And then if you do go, don't count the switchbacks." So what does that do? That kind of puts you in a position. We thought, well, these guys look kind of like they're out of shape. We shouldn't have any trouble. But it made us end up counting the switchbacks, if you can believe it. And that we did. And the trail is actually famous for those switchbacks. There's 72 of them, and it is a bit of a grunt up that hill. And then you carry on over that. There doesn't seem to be an end in the mountain. Every time you get over one side of it. There seems to be more coming at you. And as it turns out, it's not 9K to the campsite and 18K total. It's 18K to the campsite. So there was no possible way we were going to make it with the time that we had allotted ourselves. And we were a little bit concerned because that is pretty good bear country around there. And we had to set up our tent and camp just as it was getting dark on the trail. So that was sort of not what we had planned. And it was a little bit of a concern that we may have some animal problems. But as it turned out, everything went great, and we had a really good evening. The only thing that was happening that was a little bit different was it was starting to rain, and it was a very light rain. It wasn't like a downpour. It was just kind of almost like a spray. But we were in the tent. Everything was good, and then the next morning we got up. It was still raining. So we packed up and carried on. And believe it or not, we were fairly close. I think it took us maybe about 2.5 hours, and we made it to the campsite. So that would have been, if we left at 2 and we quit at 9, and then a couple more hours, that would have got us there. So we pulled in, hiked in there. There was a few other campers around. It's actually a national park. Tweedsmuir, they call it, and there's various hikes within it. And so we set up our camp, and I looked around and found some, brush and got myself a little fire going because it wasn't cold, but it gets a little chilly when you're damp. And we got the tent up, organized, and then headed over to the trail to Hunland Falls. Would you believe, after all that, we got to the lookout and the falls were fogged in. It was very surprising for us, and we could hear the falls, but we could not see the falls. And to this day, we haven't been back. So we still have not actually seen Hunland Falls, even though we stood right on the bank looking at it. So after a little bit of time spent there, we came back to the campsite, and somebody had put out my little fire, and it took me a little bit of effort to get that fire going. So I was kind of looking around, and there was a guy, a camp host. Turns out this guy, his name was John Edwards, and if you've had a chance to read the book Crusoe of Lonesome Lake, his dad, Ralph, back in the day, this would be back, I would say, in the 30s, late 30s, 40s. He became fairly famous for saving the white trumpeter swans that were frozen in this lonesome lake. And anyways, he wrote a book about his adventures, and, the family lived up there. They were old settlers, I guess you would call them, and it's quite an interesting story. And in the book, of course, there's talk about John, and he was about 10 years old when he got kicked in the head by a horse, and they couldn't get him out. It was, whatever the problem was, winter or whatever, they had to... he had to just heal up, and he had this pretty massive scar on his face, and I kind of said, well, just inquiring, where did you get that scar? And he looked at me kind of oddly, as if, how would you notice that I had that? And then, so I kind of just didn't say too much more after that. Then we started talking, and he was a very interesting guy, but you could tell that he was a little bit bushed. He started telling us this story about his special lady friend, and they were going to leave the planet and find another place to populate. And I thought, wow, this is very, very interesting to talk with him. So we had a quite a nice evening chatting with him, and then it was time to cook. And I had made a plan that I was going to make tacos. And I had brought enough supplies that if there was anyone around, I would get a taco to them too. And it just turned out that there were actually three sets of campers. There was an Austrian guy, an American and his wife, and there was a small British troop that had come over to do maneuvers in the mountains. And they had actually run out of food. So when I got these tacos going, and I fill them up pretty good, the aroma was sort of wafting around the campsite, and everybody was quite happy when I brought them a taco, except the British. They were a little bit like pulling the old stiff upper lip plan, but it took them a little while. I broke them down, and they finally took one of the tacos. So I had six extra tacos, and it was good that we could eat that material, and I didn't have to carry it down the mountain. So that was kind of interesting. So I just wanted to now at this point, as we're still up on at campsite there, let's see if we can play another song from our list here. I've got another blues guy that is very legendary, B.B. King. And he's got a song here, his old song, "The Thrill Is Gone." He's singing with Tracy Chapman. Take a listen to this. Well, there's something about the blues that just kind of relax you. You can imagine yourself sitting up in the mountains at Tweedsmuir Park along with me and my wife and this other campers, hikers that we've met up there. As you're relaxing, I'm just going to, we reach the midway point of our show or close to it, and we like to give out our recognition of who we are. We're Smithers Community Radio. CICK is our sign, and our number is 93.9 on your FM dial. We also take this opportunity to give a shout out to our sponsors. We're very fortunate to have businesses that are interested in helping support us, and we like to always pass that information along. So I'd like to say thank you very much to Ranch House Tattoo. We've got Classic Sanitary, Accounting on Broadway, Bugwood Bean, the BV Concert Association, and it looks like Phoenix Self-Care Studio. Thank you very much to those people for being involved in helping community radio. This is Thomas Tom Roper, and tonight we're doing a little travel show. We've been on the way to Bella Coola, and along the way we've been listening to some blues music to kind of keep us happy. So let's pick it up again at the top of that hill. The next morning now, we had a very restful sleep, of course. We were in an area where we shouldn't be bothered by any bears, and we'd done the 18K hike to get there, met some nice people, we've been eating well, the weather has improved, but it's still a bit foggy. We still haven't been able to see the falls, and it's time for us to head out. So we loaded up, said our farewells to all of our neighbors, our new neighbors, and headed back down the trail. Now, it was a considerable hike, either going up or going down. And of course, by then we've already counted the switchbacks once. We don't need to go through that again. But it is a lot of switchbacks before we get down to the bottom of the and to the trailhead and where we were parked. So that pretty well took us, I would say, a good 7 hours. We'd stopped for snacks on the way and whatever, and finally made her down. And when we got down, we both felt quite humbled, and we were silently apologizing to those two fellas that we met on our way up, as we had considered them kind of looking like they were out of shape. But the reality was, it was a pretty difficult hike, and we were also on that edge of being out of shape, so we let that go. And that was kind of a interesting run. So then we got ourselves back into the camper, and it was a bit of a rough road. I remember that camper shaking, you know, leaning over quite a bit as we were hitting some of the potholes to get ourselves back out of there and back into town for another night in Bella Coola. And what we found the most interesting in Bella Coola that night was the salmon were spawning, and the eagles. There must have been 25 eagles that were fishing, And you could just stand along the side of the river and watch the whole show. It was pretty spectacular, pretty spectacular. So that, I would say, in our estimation, we really enjoyed that trip. The one thing that we weren't able to do, and that was go out to the head of the channel. And at that spot, there's a rock that Alexander Mackenzie had painted his name on and his date. And it was a kind of a significant sort of a monument as one of the first fur traders that had made it across to the ocean. Now, of course, the indigenous people were living there, and they pretty well helped him to make that happen. But anyways, it was there. So what we did, instead of going there, I went into the museum, and I was able to take a picture of their picture. And I never did say that I had been there, but I had the evidence of what it looked like. So then we packed her up and started our way up the hill again. And that was definitely easier on the brakes, but it was a pretty good climb out of there. And we were pretty happy when we got up without any mechanical issues. That's always the thing that you are concerned about when you're on the road, because there's not really a lot of mechanical shops in the vicinity as you're traveling. So we made her back up to the top and got as far as Nimpo Lake, which is another very beautiful spot. And we decided, well, we'd been camping for a few days, time to have a shower and settle in there. We had a really nice dinner. And the interesting thing about Nimpo Lake, the little cabin that we were in, had a very soft bed. And I'd never been in one that actually sank down in the middle about 6 inches into sort of a well there. And it seemed like we were sleeping on top of each other that evening. So it was kind of a interesting experience. So let's fill in one more song. I've got one that I wanted to line up to get us a little closer to the end. I've got a couple extra songs I'd like to play if we get a chance to do that. But right a moment, let's try what do we got here? It's called, one of my favorite blues singers is a guy called Buddy Guy. And this song here, he's singing with Bonnie Raitt, called Feels Like Rain. Let's take a listen to that.
Sticky heat, I feel you. Open up to me. Love comes out of nowhere, baby, just like a hurricane, and it feels like rain. Lying here underneath the stars, right next to you. And I'm wondering who you are and how do you do? How do you do, baby? Clouds was rolling across the moon, and it went hollering out your name, and it feels like rain, and it feels like rain.
That is some sweet music, and Buddy on that song was singing with Bonnie Raitt. She was doing backup vocals there, and she sounds very sweet also. Buddy was actually born in 1936 in Louisiana, and began his recording career in 1959 with his first hit, First Time I Met the Blues. And he's continued to perform with every blues musician right up to his damn right farewell tour when he was 87 years old. He's an extreme legend. So I did forget to mention that little ditty about B.B. King. And it said B.B. was actually born in 1925 in the blues-rich Mississippi Delta. He celebrated his 80th birthday with Eric Clapton and the album Riding with the King. We were actually had an opportunity to hear B.B. at the CN Center in Prince George a few years back, and it was definitely quite a treat. So I'm going to try and squeeze one more song in. Let's see if we can do it here. And then we'll have our conclusion to our trip. This is one by David Holt. It's just pretty cool to hear.
trouble. Lord, I hate to hear that news. If you want to talk about it, I'll listen till you're through. But if words no longer say it, let me tell you what I always do. I just break off another bottleneck and play these steel guitar blues.
Yeah.
People say, ooh, snap out of it. Oh, that's easier said than done. While you can hardly move, they're running around having all kinds of fun. Sometimes I think it's better just to sink weed down in your funky mood. Till you can rise up humming these old steel guitar blues. Try to keep it all inside with drinking drugs and cigarettes. But you know that's not gonna get us where we wanna get. I got some medicine here, just might shake things loose. Call me in the morning after a dose of these steel guitar blues.
Now, if that is not healing music, I don't know what is. That was very, very sweet. So we're coming to the conclusion of our trip to Bella Coola. And one finale, after leaving Nimpo Lake, we pulled into another side road to Farwell Canyon. And it's actually a very beautiful place, and just naturally spiritual along the Chilcotin River. Just the hoodoos and the look of the place just makes you feel pretty, really good. So that was it. That pulled her together. We're now on the return drive and heading home to sort the pictures and the memories. And this is just one of those trips that can be achieved in our current quest for staycations and avoiding travel to the United States as their president continues his attempts with his 51st state narrative. Thanks for listening, folks, and hope to see you on the flip side.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.